Welcome to the Monday Minute of the Hunts Backcountry podcast. These are shorter and more informal episodes where we normally answer your listener questions, but today we're mixing it up. We actually have a listener of the show on the show. Patrick, how's it going, man?
Doing good, Mark. How are you?
Doing well. We are going to hear a little bit about your experience. You did your own version of a death hike just recently. I don't know if it was timed to coincide with ours. Not that it was the exact same dates, but you essentially had sent us an email letting us know you did a pretty cool hike there locally. And it was not too long after our death hike. And since we've been talking about the death hike on the podcast recently, I thought it'd be cool to get you on and maybe inspire some more listeners to get out and do their own thing. But before we get into that, what is any introduction, background, context for who you are, where you're from, anything you just want to share?
Yeah, real quick. My name is Patrick Olson. I grew up in the desert of Southern California. Moved to Boise about 10 years ago for college and stuck around since. Love archery elk hunting, love mule deer hunting. I pretty much, if I can hunt, I'm going to try to carve out some time to do so.
How long have you been listening to the podcast?
Probably since the beginning.
Oh,
I'd
wow.
say really early.
Okay, cool. I was curious about that just because I've like wondered how often you've heard us talk about a death hike, which must have been a lot. You've probably
Every
heard,
single
yeah,
year.
you've probably heard quite a few stories. So I guess that leads me into like what made you this year then? Like, go, okay, let me throw something together. Let me do something.
Yeah, I think really early on, listening to you guys talk about doing a death hike and pushing yourselves to do something challenging and different was always inspiring to me. And I just never took the time to actually sit down and plan something out. It was always, we're going to do it this spring, or we'll do it in the summer, or we'll do it in the winter. And I just kind of never took the time to really do that. And so like 2023 was a little bit rough for me on like the personal side of things. And so towards the end in like mid-December, I was like, you know what? I have to do this. If I'm ever going to push myself to do something different, then this is the time, and this is as good as time as any is now.
That's cool, man. So what between mid-December and you did the was that just this month? Like, as we're recording this, it's just at the end of April. I know this is actually going to come out here at the beginning of May, but when was you did the hike in April, right?
I did it in March 30th.
Oh, right, the end of March. So what did mid-December, you're like, all right, I'm finally doing this. They've been talking about it. Whatever, you know, we've gotten questions from listeners on, well, how do I plan a death hike? How many miles should I do? How do I pick a route? What do I put together? And that's a tough question to answer because, like, as we've said all along, you know, the idea is to challenge yourself, and that level of challenge is going to look different for everyone, right? Based on where you're coming from. And so we don't never want to throw out like, oh, hey, you have to do 50 miles or you have to do 100 miles or whatever, because hard's relative, challenge is relative. But I'm curious from your perspective, because you are coming at this from a, you know, a context that's more similar to a lot of emails I've gotten from other people asking, like, how do I plan a route? How do I do logistics? So what did that planning process look like for you?
Think from starting at the bare bones, it was more so of okay, what's going to be accessible to me in late March? Because that was my whole goal, was to do this before bear season kicked off. And so I knew that I had like a tight window with spring in Idaho, which sounds like we're going to get snow in the high country this weekend. So very relative.
You never know when spring shows up, or it may show up and then disappear. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what happened.
Right.
The weekend prior to the death hike, there was, I think, foothills got like 8 to 12 inches of snow, and I thought this is going to ruin my whole plan. But going back to planning it, it was looking at what's going to be available to me, like trail wise. And I knew I didn't want to do the whole thing on snowshoes. I just, the snowshoeing that I had done, I always seemed to like get little hot spots on like my pinky toes. So I figured that's not necessarily going to be the best situation for myself. So then I started looking at around like locally. I've got a trail that's right behind my house. It's the trailhead's, I think, 3/4 of a mile from my driveway. And I thought, how can I connect this to make this long? And what in my mind was gonna be long? So I started playing on Ridge to Rivers and mapping it all out, and it ended up being roughly 23 miles. And it looked like something that I could definitely do. Like, I think my longest hike to date prior was like a 13, 14 mile day. I thought, okay, we can add roughly 10 miles to that. It shouldn't be terrible.
That's also almost doubling it, right? Depends how you look at it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's just 10 miles, or oh, it's almost double what I've done before. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. How about, so you've done, call it 12, 13, whatever before, but you're making this plan, you're shooting for call it low 20s. How about training then? What was your, I guess, what was your goal or plan with training? And then how did training actually go?
So it started with I was doing the Mountain Tough workouts, and it was my now fiance and I were just wanting to get in better shape and live a healthier lifestyle. And then as that kind of progressed, I started to see like the weight dropping, and my heart rate was dropping substantially as well. And I wasn't able to hike all that much with weather conditions. It seemed like every time it'd snow, it'd turn to slush by the afternoon and all the trail systems would be muddy. But then coming into March, I picked up hiking, and I did two long hikes prior to the actual event. They were 12 miles apiece, and I felt rock solid. I thought, oh, this is going to be a walk in the park. Perfect.
Were you following any of the Mountain Tough programs or doing more of like they kind of posted like those daily workouts? I guess how structured were you with any specific thing for Mountain Tough?
I followed the programs. Started with on ramp and then minimum. No, I did on ramp and then body weight 30-30.
Okay.
And then we stacked those in the afternoons with taking the dog for walks and walking the green belt in Boise too.
And I think in your email, you said you dropped over the course of the training, like you said, just kind of a healthier lifestyle in general, you dropped some weight through that process, those handful of months. What was that?
Yeah, I actually dropped 15 pounds, 15, 16 pounds. I've just been staying at that pretty consistently now.
Great, man.
Yeah.
There was I don't want to call it a curve ball, but somewhat close to the hike. I think you said you had a friend offer to join you, which could be a huge blessing, like to go through this with someone and like have encouragement and et cetera. Or it can also be like a huge liability. Like if they say they're ready, but they're not, and then you guys are out there and, they're super struggling way worse than you are, et cetera. How did that end up coming together? And did you have any hesitation about? I mean, I think it's cool you were committed to doing this solo, but this whole dynamic of gathering another guy with you, because that's a question that comes up a lot of like, hey, I want to do a death hike, I want to do my own thing, but like, how do I find guys or how do I know if other guys are ready? And I know you can't answer all those questions, but I'm just curious what your experience was in that area.
Yeah, so initially I had tried to convince my brother to do this with me, and he was going to be moving to New York like a week before I was going to do this. So that kind of didn't work out. Then I was talking with one of my buddies, Blaine, and he was like, I'm up for it. Let's do it. Sounds good, man. And I think, yeah, like the hesitation of is he going to be ready? But he's also my hunting partner. And the dude is just somehow always in shape. He's just one of those people that's blessed like that. So nervous, yes, but he crushed the whole thing too.
Nice. Any, you said you did these long hikes, like training went well, you done some weight loss, the mountain tough stuff, got on a couple long hikes leading up to the hike, the death hike itself. But like those last week or two, were you hesitant about anything? Were you still making any sort of like gear decisions? I mean, gear for something like this is minimal, but that even that alone trips people up. Sometimes they look at like, I think I have everything I need, but I don't feel like I have anything. You know, were you going through any of that stuff?
I definitely, I think I went through that with shoes the most. I think I pretty much shot myself in the foot with the way I went about it. I had a pair of Crispy Liponias that I've been running for about 2 years now. Side story, last year leaving for an elk hunt, we get to the trailhead and my boots are nowhere to be found. Get back to town the next day and still can't find him. Well, my buddy's driving to work and sees him on the side of the road. And they'd
What?
been, oh, yeah. We had set him on top of the camper shell of my truck, leaving his house, and they had just slid off. And I mean, I'm pretty sure one got run over, but they were soaked because it also rained that whole weekend.
Were they tied together?
No,
But
they
you
were
found them both?
found them both. I went back the next day and found the second one. Super lucky.
That's all. So what, when you showed up for that hunt and your boots are gone, what did you do?
Unfortunately, called it quits. I tried messaging a buddy that was not terribly far from us, and he didn't have an extra pair or anything that I could wear. I tried convincing my friend Blaine that I could do it in Crocs, and he was like, dude, you're gonna blow an ankle out.
Yeah.
So those Liponias have seen better days. I got a new pair for Christmas, and I thought, I'm just gonna keep running these old ones and just use them as my trainers and not wear the soles out of the new ones. Well, in doing so, I didn't time it to where I had enough time to break them in prior to the death hike. So that now I'm looking at wearing my Salomon Speed Crosses or my Liponias. I'm like, I love my Salomons. Oh, these Liponias have seen better days. But with the snowshoeing on top, I figured Salomons in a snowshoe wouldn't necessarily do me all that great. Especially with talking about like the hot spots I get on my pinky toes from the snowshoes. So I packed two shoes. I wore the Salomons the first, call it 19 miles, and then switched to the Liponias when we had to snowshoe.
Okay, that's what I was going to get at. You essentially carried a boot just for the snowshoe.
Yep.
Gotcha. So you said earlier, like, I know a little bit of the story because of the email, but earlier you mentioned not wanting to snowshoe, but then you just mentioned snowshoeing. So was that when you planned your route, were you hoping to completely avoid snowshoeing? And then just based on, hey, I'm planning this route months in advance, but as we're getting close to March 30th, like there's snow. The route is the route. It looks like I'm going to have to pack snowshoes. Is that the case?
Yep, that's exactly what happened.
You were able to do more than half of it without snowshoes then, and then kind of the final push was with snowshoes.
Yeah, the last 7 miles was with snowshoes.
How did the first part of the hike go? The first, what ended up being what, 14, 15 miles?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was, we got up at, I think we started at the trail at 4:30. And first 5 miles were awesome. We kind of planned to do 5 miles, stop, eat for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, get up, keep going. And we ran into another guy at the, I guess, the junction trail that we were at. He was going to do like a 14-mile day. So we ended up walking with him for a little bit. Super nice guy. He actually went to my rival high school. I'm like, what a small world.
From back in California?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, this is crazy. But so those first 14 miles, they were awesome. And right before we started making that last climb to get up onto the backside going to Bogus, we were like, okay, we're down 2.5, 3 liters of water. Let's try to refill real quick. And that's when we both learned that you should really test your filters before you leave on a trip. We were getting like a drop every 10 seconds through the Sawyer squeeze.
Man, so these were filters you had probably used last season or early in the year and didn't realize how clogged they were.
Yep. Which I didn't know this at the time, but I guess there's calcification that builds up on the interior of them. And if you take vinegar and run it through there, it breaks it all up. And now this thing flows incredibly because I had only used it twice.
Which Sawyer is it? Because there's like the micro, the mini, the regular. Do you remember which one?
I want to say it's the mini.
Okay. The vinegar trick worked for you though? That's what you did to break it up later?
Yeah, I broke it up later and now it's totally fine because I'd only had like one or two uses out of it. Like,
So when you guys were, I think you said 14 miles or whatever in, and you have the water you have, sounds like a couple liters, but you're going to add more. And both of you guys, your filter is just a drip. What did you do at that point? Were you guys forced to just like ration and finish the water that you had? What was the strategy to finish this thing with clogged filters?
at first, we were going to sit there and try to like get as much as we could in the time that we were going to spend eating and taking a little rest. And we got to the point where it had filled like 16 ounces and it had been like, call it 45 minutes. We both looked at each other and said, I think we just hold on to this last liter and ration it for the last 7-ish, 8-ish miles.
What were the conditions as you're getting to the last 7, 8 miles? You're talking about needing snowshoes, but I'm far from a snowshoe expert, but I've used them a decent amount and I know enough to know that snowshoes are wonderful in certain snow conditions. They're kind of useless or almost seem like more trouble than they're worth in other conditions. So I'm curious, as you get into snow and you're gaining elevation, how helpful or frustrating, essentially, were the snowshoes in covering country.
We didn't put them on initially. We thought, okay, this is just a little bit of snow. Let's just keep pushing. And then as we'd start to wrap around like these fingers on the north face, it'd be knee to waist deep and you'd post hole through. And that's when we decided, okay, this is kind of necessary at this point because we're moving way slower than we should. But yeah, I agree with. I mean, only those north faces really had enough snow on them to warrant the need. But we wouldn't be on like dry ground for long enough to warrant taking them on and off and on and off. Not my favorite thing to do.
You guys finish, it sounds like, without any major issues or setbacks. But I am curious, like from a practical level, What are some of the lessons, takeaways, things you would do differently? I mean, I know that they're, I even struggle with this question, like thinking through the death hikes because they're all different, right? It's like, well, would have done this differently if the conditions were X or what have you. But so there's always the what ifs, but just in general, some of the practical takeaways, things you're glad you did, things you wish you would have done different, things you wish you had, things you probably shouldn't have brought, that type of thing.
The biggest thing for me was to figure out the shoes before 2 weeks out. Like, that doesn't give you enough time to really taper and break in a new pair of shoes. Check your filter. I don't know. I think it's really cool to do something like that and show to yourself like how much mental grit you have, and like you can do so much more than you think that you can. And then another thing is, don't pack too much food. Like, it's always, which is hard to say because your appetite can be so different and so subjective,
Yeah.
but I definitely overpacked.
Do you have a rough idea of like how much food you had, calorie wise or even weight wise?
I think weight wise, I was in like the 6 pound mark.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot for that mileage.
Yeah.
What, speaking of food, like what did you really like and was easy to eat and glad you had? And what were some of the things like of your 6 pounds of food that you looked at and you're like, oh, that doesn't sound like. Obviously, it sounded good at some point when you considered packing it, but like out on the hike, it didn't sound good.
Definitely would not bring like the little smoked jerky sticks. Was not a fan of that. I think it was, I don't know, they just made, as soon as I like open up the Ziploc bag that they were in, it just made me sick thinking
Yeah.
about them. The thing that I loved, the electrolyte mix from Kyle at Valley Peak, that was awesome.
Oh, his homemade one.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah. You'll have to leave a link to that so people can check it out.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing was, and this is something I just ate as a kid that just doesn't fit into at home nutrition now, is those like Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal bars.
Yep.
Those are phenomenal.
Yeah, I do the Golden Grahams version of those. This, but the same thing, like the prepackaged cereal bars, you know, they're pure junk food. And
Oh,
again, I
yeah.
don't eat them day to day at all, but I think I had like three of those packed, like per day on the last death hike. And I've done that the last year or two, maybe, even on some hunts. And that's one thing that just kind of doesn't matter if it's hot, cold, I'm tired, I'm not tired. Like it doesn't matter. Those things are easy to put down.
They're so good. I think besides that, it was mostly like Pop-Tarts, sour gummy worms, Swedish fish, some dried bananas. Yeah, a lot of, I think it was just more so the quantity of food they brought rather than the variety.
Yeah, 6 pounds is a lot for sure.
Plus, carrying an extra pair of boots, not the best idea.
So, when you get done, whether you know you're thinking about it immediately when the hike's over, just looking back at it now, do you feel that that route and that type of mileage was like a good challenge for where you were at? Are you glad you kind of planned it that way? And then I guess related to that, are you hungry to keep exploring what's possible and do more in the future?
Yeah, I think there's two thoughts when it comes to that. So first, I had built up this death hike in my mind to be like this, as soon as I get to the top, I'm just gonna feel awesome, like I accomplished something, like essentially fill my cup of like joy type thing. And I didn't necessarily feel that. I felt like I would left something out there. I don't know. Hard to explain, but I didn't. It made me more hungry to do something even harder rather than the joy of completing it. So, yes, I am planning a new one. I don't know what I'm going to do. You guys have me pretty convinced that the Grand Canyon rim to rim to rim looks pretty awesome. We'll see. I have no idea what's next.
Yeah, I can relate to the feeling, and I'm sure there's like some level of, satisfaction and pride. But yeah, it's also like, well, I came through that pretty good. Like, what? So what else is possible? Like, what else is out there? Like, I pushed past. Like for you, you pushed past your longest day by far. Like as we said, like almost doubled it. But even then, you're like, okay, well. Did that. So now what, right? Like just kind of keep finding those limits, which is a really cool thing. And I don't know if you've thought about this. Obviously, I haven't had the chance to experience it yet, just in terms of timing, but it for sure changes like hunts in the future of something that seemed like, oh, I don't know if we can go that far or do that. Now becomes much more of like, well, yeah, we could do that. Like that's at first glance, it sounds tough, but that's totally doable, right? So,
Absolutely.
yeah, I think you'll find yourself in the field, looking at things differently. And I'm not saying throw caution to the wind or be careless or risk, there's still factors of like heat and meat loss and like there's numerous things with distance, but in terms of your personal how you look at what's possible, I'd be excited to chat with you after this coming hunting season and see how different that kind of feels or seems, having done something like this now.
Yeah, I can. Well, I actually went bear hunting last weekend, 2 weekends ago with a friend, and right out of the gates, I was like, oh, we can easily get there. Easily. And he's like, oh no, that's like a day and a half hike. I'm like, we can do that in a couple hours.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see like how much harder you can push your body. And distance doesn't seem like all that much anymore. I'll be curious to see what it's like with camp on my back and like an archery elk September situation, though.
Right.
That's when you're really covering country.
Yeah, for sure. Cool, man. Such a helpful like perspective to share. If there's someone listening to this, maybe they like you had been listening to the podcast for a long time, they've heard a bunch about the death hike, or maybe they're newer to the podcast and the death hike. Again, I'm not saying everyone has to do something like this, but I think again, hard's relative, limits are relative, and whatever that means to that person listening, like pushing up against those limits or past those limits or what you think are your limits is beneficial, whether that's 10 miles or 100 miles. But for those guys listening, I guess just to recap, like what would you maybe encourage them with or leave them with?
There's no better time than now. Like, if you want to do this, just sit down and make a plan. It's put a training plan together, plan a route. If you want to do it with friends, do it with friends. If you want to do it by yourself, go ahead and do it. I think it's important to plan to do something and stick it out, and you'll be glad that you did.
Well, if you guys listening do make a plan or you have questions about making a plan, let us know. If you end up doing your own version of the death hike, whatever that looks like, it'd be great to hear from you as well. So shoot us an email and let us know. But for now, Patrick, man, thanks for sharing the story. I'm glad you sent the email just outside of the podcast. It was super cool to see and to read and the photo. So congrats, man, on getting out there and making it happen. I'm excited to hear about what the future holds for you as well.
Thanks, Mark. I really appreciate your time.